In the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 4, Paul turns his attention to the glory of the gospel, to the light of the gospel that shines in the darkness, to the power of the gospel to deliver from darkness, and to the reality of the gospel that through the death of Jesus Christ and through the sinner being crucified with Christ comes everlasting and eternal life. Paul contrasts what can be seen with the natural eye in this world, which is but a mirage, with that which cannot be seen with the natural eye, but which is everlasting, and which is that which is truly real. He says in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What a contrast there is here in Paul's words with that which is portrayed unto us in the world around us, with that which men will tell us, with that which the media will tell us. All the influence we have every day of our lives in this world is that which is important is that which can be seen, that which you experience here and now, that which you can touch, handle and feel in this world. All that really matters is how much you have of this world and what you do in this world and where you go in this world. And they tell us this in spite of the fact that our sojourn in this world, our time in this world, is so brief. We're born and before we know it, we're fully grown. And before we know it, we're old. And before we know it, we're departed. We die. Life is but for a moment. And all the prospects that this world seems to offer are gone in a flash. They're temporal. They're a passing vanity. And anyone that seeks to grasp hold of this world with the idea that that is their happiness secured is a fool. As soon as you've attained to something, it's gone. That which is real, that which matters, is that which you cannot see with the natural eye. Is that which is eternal and everlasting. Where you stand before a holy God. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. Then how do we experience, how do we know the things which are not seen with the natural eye? How are we ever going to be a partaker of that which natural man cannot see, cannot understand, that which is hid from him? One way. Through the revelation of God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What you and I need is to hear the gospel, not just with the outward ear, but inwardly, by the power of the Holy Ghost, through the revelation of God within. Your great need is to hear and believe the gospel through which your sins will be washed away, through which you would be delivered from this temporal world and brought into that which is everlasting, through which you will know Jesus Christ. Without the gospel, you're left in the darkness of a fleeting, passing world to enter into an everlasting darkness of judgment from which there is no escape. But should God make his gospel known unto you, then you will be delivered from the darkness and brought into the light of eternal salvation. Paul speaks of this in the beginning of the chapter. He says, as a preacher, as an apostle, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this gospel, this call of God to preach this message of life from death, of righteousness, of salvation through the blood of Christ, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel of Christ. What a description of this message, this gospel. The glorious gospel of Christ. And what a statement regarding the preaching of this gospel Paul has given here in these opening verses. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why do we preach this message? Why do we preach this message in a dark and an evil world that doesn't want to know? Why do we bother wasting our time, as it were, as men would say, standing up and preaching such a message when the world around us doesn't care, doesn't like it, doesn't want to hear, and would willingly put us to death if it could? Why did Paul go to the trouble of preaching this message when he knew that he could die for uttering these words, when he knew that Christ himself died and others who went preaching his gospel were put to death, were persecuted? Why did he dare to preach such a message? Because God shone the light out of the darkness and shined in his heart and gave unto him the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He knew the difference between night and day, between life and death, between the darkness and the light. He knew the difference between being blind to the truth and dead in his sins and seeing his Saviour crucified for him, risen again with him, brought to life by the gospel. He knew the power of the gospel. He knew what it did for him. He knew how Christ had died for him and delivered him. He knew the reality of the application of that gospel. He knew the sprinkling of the blood in his heart. He knew the peace he was given with Almighty God. He knew the freedom and liberty that he was set into by that gospel. He knew how the bondage of the law which was upon him before and the bondage of condemnation and guilt had been taken away. The chains had been set free. He'd been delivered. He'd been saved. And therefore, he goes forth with this message to preach unto the captives, to preach unto dead sinners the glorious gospel of Christ. And we too, sent of God with this gospel, come in the same manner. Why do we declare these things? Because we were dead like you are, sinner. We were blind like you may be. We were in darkness like you may sit. And God delivered us. We don't come with some theoretic idea or some persuasion of man, some cunningly crafted fables. We don't come with some idea of how to live or some construction of religion that men have devised. We don't preach a way of life. We don't preach a religion. We preach deliverance from death, deliverance from sin, deliverance from condemnation. We preach the light which shines in the darkness. We preach life and salvation through Jesus Christ. This is our ministry. This is Paul's ministry. This is why Paul risked death to preach it, that dead sinners should live. And this is why we, if we need to, will risk death to preach the same message in our day and generation, such that others like you who lay in the grave, who lay on the brink of eternity in hell, should hear and be delivered from your sins. Paul knew the mercy and love of God, the grace of God. And we who know the mercy, the love and the grace of God, preach the same message to you this day. This ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. There are many who do. We don't come with another gospel. There are many who do. We don't preach that you might be saved if you make the right decision, when we know that you cannot make a decision because your will is set against God and his gospel because of the depravity in your heart and the deadness of your sins. We don't preach that you might be saved by your own works or your own obedience or your own keeping of God's law, because we know that you cannot keep that law. It's given to show you your sin. It's given to condemn you and shut you up as a sinner guilty before Almighty God. We don't preach that there is salvation by any way or means other than the free grace of God, the mercy of God revealed unto his people. Your salvation depends upon God opening your blind eyes to see that which is once hidden to you, opening your deaf ears to hear that which you cannot hear by nature. We preach that salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God alone. Only God can save a sinner lost in his sins. Only God can open the eyes of the blind. Only God can open the ears of the deaf. Only God can put faith in an unbelieving heart. Only God can say unto Lazarus in the grave, Lazarus, come forth, and a dead man lives. Only God can make you live, but he will make you live through the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We will not be dishonest about the preaching of the gospel. We will not follow cunningly devised fables or craftily mix the works and the will of man with the grace of God in order to make the gospel seem more appealing to the natural dead sinner, as many do. We will not handle the word of God deceitfully, making it say what it doesn't say. But we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God through the manifestation, the preaching, the revealing, the making known of the truth. It's the truth which saves. And the truth is the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. For he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Then to preach the gospel is to preach Christ, to preach the truth, the way, and the life. This ministry. If this ministry, this gospel, is hid, it is hid to them which are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If we don't preach this gospel, then it's hidden from them that are lost. If the gospel is not made known, then lost sinners will not hear. There are some that never do. Their minds are blinded. Their hearts are closed to the truth. And they never see. And the years of their lives pass away with increasing hardness of heart, increasing blindness, increasing folly, increasing destruction, until that day when they draw their last breath. Until that day when they stand before their Maker and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Religious or irreligious, whether they have turned their back upon Christianity altogether, or whether they have made some profession of faith and sought to get to heaven by their own strength, but have rejected the truth. However they are blinded, if that's the path that they are on, if that's the path that you are on, it ends in destruction. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If this gospel shines unto you, you will be saved. If it shines in your heart, you cannot stand in its way and not be affected by it. But there are those whose minds have been blinded in order that the light should not shine within. In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who is the God of this world? Well, we know that Satan, the accuser, the devil, goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that he has his influence and does all he can to prevent sinners from hearing the gospel or being brought to know the truth. And there is a sense in which this phrase refers to him. in his efforts to blind the minds of those that might believe. But the reality is that whatever titles are given to Satan, he is not the God of this world. There is a God, a power, a principality greater than his. He is but a puppet in Almighty God's hands. And when he comes before Almighty God and speaks of one like Job of old and asks to do something to Job, he requires the agreement of Almighty God to allow him to go about his evil ways. He is not in control. He is not sovereign. He is not the ruler of this world or this universe. God is. He is but a puppet in God's hands. He can only do that with which freedom he is given. Then although he may be the instrument in God's hands that goes around trying to deceive many, trying to lead us astray, trying to blind our eyes, ultimately God has given him the freedom. Ultimately God says, go on then. Go on then. Go and blind the minds of as many as you can. But where I preach my gospel, nothing that you do will stand in its way. So Satan, eager to take as many souls captive, goes around this world, deceiving and leading astray, trying to whisper his lies in our ears. He's come unto you, sinner. And every day he whispers and he whispers and he says, have God said? Is there a God? Is that gospel true? Did Jesus die? Did he rise again? Do you care? Come this way. Come and have fun. Come and have pleasure. Come and have riches. He comes unto you like he came unto Christ. When Christ was born, when Christ lived as a man in this world, Satan at the beginning of Christ's ministry tried to tempt him. And he took him up. And he showed him the world before him. And he said, I could give you this world if you follow me. And he says unto us, look at all that I can give you. Turn away from the gospel. Turn away from God. Shut your ears to this nonsense. Follow me. See all that you could have. I can give you the world. And he seeks to blind our eyes to the truth. But God says elsewhere, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Christ rejected the temptations of Satan. The audacity of Satan to promise Christ all the kingdoms of this world when they're all Christ in the first place. And the lie of Satan is that he will promise you something he cannot give you. He'll promise you the world. He'll promise you life. He'll promise you pleasure. He'll promise you riches. And it's not his to give to you. And if you think that you've gained it, if you think that you've got it, it will be taken away because there's a God above Satan that's crushed Satan's head, that crushed the serpent's head, and he'll take it all away from you. All that you grasp hold of, all that you're given by this deceiver of the nations will be taken out of your hands, you fool. You've gone after what you can't keep. You turn your back upon the God that can give you eternal life. For that which is temporal in this world, which perishes, which rusts, which rots, which is taken away, and which when you breathe your last breath, it pours through your fingertips like sand. You can't hold on to it. It's a deception. It's a mirage in a desert. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Satan can't give you anything eternal other than everlasting damnation with him and his angels. Go follow him if you will. But you're blind if you do. Yes, he tries to deceive the world, lest they believe the gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He tries to deceive, but behind him, the God of this world, the one true and living God, is the one that rules over all. And if God says, you will see the gospel, you will see. If God says you will hear the gospel, you will hear. And if God says no, you're blind and you'll remain blind, then you will remain blind. You will remain in darkness. And the light of the gospel will shine all around you and you'll never enter into it, and it will never enter into you. It will be words that rumble past your ears, which never enter into your soul. And should you, like Esau of old, come to realize you've made a big mistake, should you come somehow to realize that you've sold your birthright, and all those years when you could have heard the gospel and you shut your ears to it, now you can't hear it. Now the gospel's gone. Now that preacher that God sent your way with the truth, he's gone. Perhaps he's gone into eternity and there's no one else preaching. There's no gospel for you to find. You go around seeking the truth. You've come to realize that hell is your portion, but it's too late. Those days of hearing the gospel are in the past. You would not listen, you shut your ears. But now, like Esau, you realize you've sold your birthright. And you want to hear and you want to know. But you can't find God. You can't find the truth. You can't find the gospel. You don't know because you're blind. And you can't see in the darkness. You chose your way and God left you to it. You said, I will not hear, and God said, very well, you will not hear. You said, I don't care, and God said, very well, I'll leave you to yourself. Now you want to enter in, now you want to come through the door, but the door's shut. Now you want to listen, but there's no one speaking. Now you want to know God, but God has said no more. It's too late. These are solemn warnings. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If God ceases to preach the gospel to your soul and you're lost in your sins, you may never hear it again. Oh, that we may not be left to our own will with regard to the gospel. Oh, that God may not give us the desire of our hearts, which is for this world and its ways, for all that Satan promises us, which is not his to give, which ends in destruction. Oh, may God not leave us to our own wisdom. Oh, may God not blind our hearts. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Just as Satan cannot blind your heart unless God allows him, so Satan cannot blind you to the truth if God has said, you will see. If God has purposed through his glorious gospel to make his Son known unto you, nothing will stop you seeing his Son. Nothing will stop you hearing him. Nothing will stop the light of the gospel shining into the darkness of your heart. For God is God. God is sovereign. And God will save all for whom his Son died. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves. What does Paul mean by this? He means twofold. His message, the subject of his message, is not himself and not yourself. He doesn't preach what he thinks. He doesn't preach about his experience. He doesn't preach about you or your experience. He preaches Christ. Christ is his subject. Christ is his message. Christ is all. Christ is the Saviour whom he declares. Our message to you is that salvation is in and through the person of Jesus Christ. But also, Paul's ability to preach and Paul's opening of his mouth to preach was not of himself. It isn't Paul that's preaching here. It's Christ. And there's the difference between man's preaching and God's preaching. Between that gospel which is in word only and that which comes from above. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. It's Christ Jesus the Lord who preaches. I may be the man standing up. I may be the man uttering the words, but Christ is the one that gave me the words to preach. And Christ is the one that sent me here this day. And Christ is the one that utters through his Spirit unto your soul this day. That's what Paul's telling us. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the subject, he's the object, he's the one who preaches, he's the preacher. He in heaven above utters by his Spirit through those whom he sends with the gospel on earth, that you might hear not the words of man, but the words of Almighty God. Paul's but a servant, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He's but the mouthpiece. He says later on, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He speaks of being troubled every day, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in the body. His constant experience is of dying, in order that the life of God might be preached and that sinners might live by it. He's nothing. He's crucified with Christ. He's but the mouthpiece. But the preaching and the message is of God. And if you're to live, sinner, it's God who must preach unto you. It's Christ who must preach. You don't just need to hear the message of who Christ is and the message of what Christ did, but you need Christ himself. Having died, having risen again, having conquered sin, death and hell, you need Christ himself from the other side of the grave to stand up and preach by his power. Preach by the power of the Holy Ghost unto your soul. And when Christ himself says unto you from the other side of the grave, from eternity, when he comes in the gospel and says unto you, live, and you hear, you will live. This is the gospel that Paul's speaking of. This is what it makes it glorious. He heard Christ from the glory of heaven. When did Paul believe? When he read the scriptures? No, he was brought up reading the scriptures. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained as a Pharisee. He grew up in religion. He grew up in the scriptures, and he knew not God. Was he saved when he prayed? No, he spent years praying unto a God he didn't know, and it never saved him. Was he saved when he kept the law, obediently living as God had instructed? When he worked out his own righteousness before a holy God? No, it led him to persecute the church and reject Jesus Christ. It led him to assent to the stoning of Stephen. Stephen stood up and preached the gospel, and even that day when the gospel was preached, Paul stood by, Saul stood by, and had Stephen stoned to death. Was Paul saved when he heard the gospel with the outward ear? Not on the day that Stephen preached. He even heard the truth from ministers sent of God. He even heard the truth of the gospel, not a corrupt gospel, not another gospel. Not a gospel preached by men who are not sent of God. But he heard it from the apostles and rejected it. Like you may be rejecting it today. You've heard the truth. You know the truth. You've heard the words. And your heart says no. Your heart, as it were, would silence the preacher if you could. You'd take up stones and stone Stephen if you could. Was Saul saved when he read the scriptures? No. Was he saved when he prayed? No. Was he saved when he kept the law? No. Was he saved when he heard the gospel outwardly? No. But there was a day when Saul woke up and purposed to go to Damascus to persecute the church, to take believers captive, to put them to their death, to cause havoc. He raged against Christ. He raged against the gospel. And he raged against any who believed or followed Christ. Like you may be today. And his goal that day was to trample the blood of Christ underfoot. And that day, on his way to Damascus, he met with his Saviour. There was a light that shone round about him from heaven above, and a voice that called out unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that's the day, that's the hour, that this gospel became glorious to Paul. He heard not the voice of man. He heard not the bare letter of the words of the gospel. However true those words might be, he'd heard the disciples. He'd heard Stephen. He'd seen the caliber and the faith of Stephen as Stephen stood firm even though he was stoned to death. He'd heard these words, but he'd never heard them from Christ. And on this day, Christ himself met with him and called unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And that day, he heard the gospel in power from Almighty God. The glorious gospel of Christ. From that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined in Paul's heart at that hour to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Has he done that for you? Because that, my friend, is what saves a sinner from the grave. That's what takes you off your path of self-destruction and puts you on a path unto eternal life. That's what delivers you from the blindness and folly of the wisdom of this world and reveals unto you the truth and the wisdom of God. That's what delivers you from your guilt, the wretched guilt of all your unbelief and all your rejection of the gospel, of all your indulgence, of all your pride and arrogance, of all the foolishness of your own natural sinful way. That's what will deliver you from the captivity of your sin and the judgment and wrath of God against all that you've done, thought and said throughout your lifetime. That's what will save you if Christ in this gospel comes unto you and says, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. I am alive. I am risen. I am alive forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator and the sustainer of all things. I am your God and your Savior. Have you met with him? When we preach this gospel, it's him that we preach, and it's his salvation that we preach. He came into this world to save his people from their sins, and that's what he did. He went to the cross and died because he purposed to. He went to the cross for a reason and a purpose, in order to bear the sins of his people. The Father chose a people before the foundation of the world, and he gave the names of that people unto his Son, and his Son promised to enter this world and to go to the cross and to suffer in their place. He didn't die for all. He doesn't love all. He's not trying to save all. He delivered his people from their sins. He loves his people. He died for his people. He shows unto his people mercy. And he shows unto the rest his wrath and anger at their sin and their unbelief. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will harden the hearts of those whom I will harden. I will blind the minds of those whom I will blind. Salvation is in his hands. It is before him whom we stand this day. It is before him whom we must answer. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of his gospel? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to you more than your bread and your water? More than the breath that you breathe? More than the beating of your heart? Does it matter to you more than your job and your career and your family and your ambitions? Is this the thing that's most important? Because it needs to be. Because unless you know this Christ, unless you know this God, unless you know this Saviour, you are lost. Why do we risk our lives? Why do we risk persecution? Why do we suffer the hatred and rejection of men in order to preach this gospel? Because this gospel delivered us from death, and our concern for others is that they should know what it is to be delivered from death. We are seeking the lost sheep of Israel. We are seeking sinners like ourselves, chosen of God unto salvation, sinners who are yet in their sins, yet in darkness, yet blind, whom God have chosen to spare, to deliver from darkness, to save with an outstretched arm. We are seeking to make known the light that God has shone into our hearts. We are seeking to make known the mercy that God extended to us. We are seeking to preach the grace of God which delivered us from our sins. We are seeking to preach the love of God which he set upon us though we hated him. Oh, will you know the love and the mercy and the grace of God? Or does it all wash over you like water off a duck's back? Does it just wash over you? Is it just words in one ear and out the other? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel of Christ, it's glorious. It's glorious that God chose to save a people though they hated him. It's glorious that God had mercy upon us though we were in darkness, though we rejected him, though we cared not for him, though we had no time for him, though we didn't want to hear the gospel, though we'd run away as far as we could go, though everything we did with all that God gave us we used to harm him, to reject him. It's glorious that God loved us in spite of our hatred. It's glorious that Christ was willing to suffer in the darkness of the cross, to suffer the darkness of sin, to suffer the outpouring of God's wrath in order that his people should know what it is to enter into the light, to have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine into their hearts. It's glorious that God should love such a people. It's glorious that Christ in grace should be their substitute, should be their sacrifice, should be their offering, should be their righteousness, should be their life, should be their husband, should be their saviour. It's glorious. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the image of God. God himself, as a man, gave himself that men through him should live. Did Christ give himself for you? Has he met with you on the way? You may be on your path to Damascus this day. You may be breathing out threatenings against the people of God and Christ himself. You may seek to silence the gospel and silence Christ. But will he meet you? For if he does, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. This the greatest thing that happened to Saul, that he met with Christ on the way. That despite all his hatred and all his rejection and all his blindness, that God still loved him. God spared him. And God sent him forth to preach this gospel, the gospel which is set down in Scripture at the writing down of Paul, as led by the Spirit, the gospel he preached, which is preached today. Because God met Saul that day, this word from Saul, this word from Paul echoes through the generations, echoes through the ages, unto this very hour. And Saul, as it were, from the other side of the grave, with Christ his Saviour, would say with Christ, listen, listen to this message, listen to this gospel, listen to what Christ did for me. hear him, hear Christ, hear the Saviour, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your souls. Sirs, what must we do? Those lost sinners cried out when the alarm of God sounded in their hearts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.